tell me something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets. But how can I contain the truth I hold inside? With all the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You've tuned in to TrueStream Oasis, and I am your host, Amos Ridley. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us be glad and rejoice in it. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Of whom shall we be afraid? I have the opportunity once again to come to you guys and break some bread with you, share a little bit about what the Lord's doing in my life, and seems like the Lord takes me through things. You know, before I get on here, I go through something, and the Lord shows me something, and you know, I've never done this before, so you know, maybe that's how it goes. Maybe He takes me through something so that I can learn something and I can share it with you guys. But I was just thinking, you know, I had a pretty oppressive day at work today. Seems like things are just getting difficult, you know. It just feels like I'm on a treadmill or something. I don't know, you know. And not getting anywhere. Just the prices are going up. Having some financial difficulties. And it's just difficult. Just feels like sometimes, you know, I'm working to survive so that I can work to survive so that I can keep working to survive. Anybody out there relating to that? It's pretty difficult. I know each one of us has our own different financial situations, but it's kind of difficult, you know what I'm saying? Just, man, with everything going on in the world, the news, and all the conspiracies coming out, it's crazy. It really, really tends to bang on you. You know, I was talking to a friend today, and my friend was really stressed out, you know. They were like, you know, I'm going to have to back off of this for a while. It's so overwhelming, you know. And I had a discussion. We were talking about how it just breaks your trust down, you know. All this stuff coming out, you know, you're finding out all this corruption with the politicians. You know, you got various different church groups, and this one believes this, and this one believes that. And you've got Satan coming out and just... And some of these church movements are just false. You know, there's false revival going on, and all this emotionalism and sensationalism, you know. Just, man, I'm not trying to confuse you, but it's just confusing, you know. And it's just all this stuff just can be overwhelming at times. And I just want to let you know you're not alone, you know, as you listen to the Revelation Radio Network. You know, and some of these different podcasts, and we're exposing things. This can be difficult. Like I said, I had a discussion with a friend about this tonight, and it can be overwhelming, guys, you know. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, like, well, what do we do, you know? I mean, we have to expose what's going on in the darkness, you know, and because if we don't, people are just going to stay asleep, and they're not going to know what's going on. But we, you know, it's kind of like Satan laid a trap for us, you know. But as we wake people up, they've lived in an illusion so long where there's literally hundreds, thousands of different little things in people's heads that they thought were one way. And then you wake them up and they find out, you know, hey, the world is a very different place than I thought it was, you know. It, cognitive dissonance takes place. Cognitive dissonance, I can say that. It's a rejecting of the mind, to see something with a different perception than you've perceived it with. And, you know, it's difficult. You know, all this stuff's coming out, and there's been a lot of things going on behind the scenes that is not going down the way we thought it did. And if you're like me, there's a process you go through. I was in the conspiracy realm for 6 years. I'm still in it, but I'm not focusing on it anymore. I just kind of, and I don't know how long it takes people, but you just get to a point where I'm not doing anything. You know, it's just desolating me. It's just going inside and boring this gigantic hole into which falls all of this confusion, you know, and you're just left feeling like, you know, what do I trust? You know, it's just, you know, people's trust is broken. And that's a very difficult place to be. You know, and depending on how badly your trust was broken, how deeply you thought the world was, you know, a certain way, or how deeply you trusted in it, you know, I guess that ties into how deeply the cut is on breaking your trust. You know, for me, it was pretty devastating, and I was determined to get to the truth. So, you know, I would go on the internet and I would just research, and I'd research and I'd read the Bible, and, you know, and all these Old Testament prophecies. You know, I spent a lot of time in the Old Testament books. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Habakkuk, Nahum, Joel, Hosea, Micah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. Spent a lot of time in these books, and the Lord really gave me a thirst for it. I guess that's where I was supposed to be. Maybe that's why the Lord provided, you know, put such a thirst in my soul for them. But I would just read them over and over and over again, and my understanding started being open. I no longer looked at the Old Testament as, you know, God just talking about Nineveh or talking about Egypt or Assyria or Babylon. I started to see character traits in the nations today that, you know, were the same as these ancient civilizations. And once I started to see that, it was like prophecy started opening up right in front of me, and it became real. And because I spent so much time in the Old Testament, in the prophets and everything, I just, through repetition, got real familiar with a lot of the imagery. And I would read the New Testament, Revelation, and the prophecies in the New Testament, and things started to open up. And, you know, I started to see connections between the words and between the symbolism in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So I would put them together, the understanding would open, and then I would see another part of the picture. And, you know, so it's just awesome the way God has prophesied all this. But I'm going to tell you, you know, once you start seeing the picture, the language that God uses about the end times, it's not pretty. It's pretty serious language, guys. Like, you know, he says terror will seize them. He's like, you know, every hand will hang limp, the knees will go weak. He talks about, you know, when at the destruction, he's like, people will come by and they'll shave their hair, they'll be in horror. I mean, and we just blow over this, and we don't pay attention to it. It's like it goes in one ear and out the other, and we kind of hear it and kind of understand it a little bit, but we don't let it sink in. You know, this is a very difficult time that we're getting ready to go through, and there's a lot of oppression, and there's a lot of lies. And sifting through it and going back, and there's just thousands of lies, and you go back and you're like, you know, thinking, finding one thing out and another, and it's and you just, all these lies are being exposed. And I just want you guys to know out there that you're not the only one that gets overwhelmed sometimes, you know, because I do. I get overwhelmed, and then, you know, when I get overwhelmed, I have to cry out to the Lord, you know, and just wait for him to minister to me, because Satan comes in like a flood. He starts, you know, doing those 4 D's, you know, doubt, despair, depression. And it starts to really cave in on you, and Satan's trying to cause a lot of fear. And I think what some of us have to do is take it in small doses, just, you know, because, like, shoot, if we don't keep up with what's going on in Babylon by turning the television on, we don't have a clue as to what's going on. But the problem is, you turn the television on, you start watching it, you know, and you're not getting the truth, and they're just causing fear. You know, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when I watch the television, watching these newscasters, they're reporting all this stuff that should just shock the crap out of us, you know, if our hearts are not calloused. And it should just shock the crap out of us. And the person's just keeping a straight face, keeping that monotone, not monotone, but speaking in measured tones, that funky way that they speak to us. I don't even know what that is. It's really weird, because if they were in the same room with you, it would be really odd if they were speaking to you like that. So I don't know if that's a broadcasting thing. I don't know if it's a form of sorcery. I don't know what it is. I just know that I tuned into it one day, and it's just really weird. But, you know, it just act like it's not affecting them. And it's just this fake reality going on. And, like, nobody's talking about the elephant in the room. Like, it's getting bad, you know, but you got to go in to figure out what's going on. So my only suggestion is if you got to know what's going on and you want to keep up with the news, take it in small doses. But put a lot of the Word of God in, and just keep crying out to the Lord for faith and strength to get through this, because it does. It wears you down. You know, the Bible does say that He will think to wear down the saints of the Most High God. And you know, Satan is making war against the saints. And the stuff is going on. It's not a cakewalk, you know. And I guess it's like coming to the realization that, wow, we're the ones that are in Revelation. And I guess any generation that would wake up and find itself as the ones that are seeing the prophecies, the end prophecies of Revelation come to pass, is going to be like, no, it can't be us. You know, that's always something that I just thought was off in the future. But I'm here to tell you, it's looking seriously like it's us. And, you know, we need to wake up. And it's a fine balance between waking people up, because I got a large audience out there, and there's some people out there that need to be encouraged, because they've heard these conspiracies and it's banging on them, and they're getting tired of it. They're getting weary. So they need some encouragement. But there are other people out there listening that need to be warned. They need to hear the sound of the trumpet warning them, you know. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. Wake up. It's like the watchman blowing the shofar on the wall, warning the people inside the city. You know, so there's that fine balance. But I know that I always find comfort in God's Word. And I've been finding it difficult to sift through all the media stories, you know, Babylon's media outlets, and try to find truth. It's all confusion. I mean, you can pretty much just untwist it a little bit. If you have Holy Spirit discernment, you can read these news stories and see what's going on. That's why, you know, on the roundtable discussion I had with Frank Lordy, Chris White, and Mark Jacillo from the Final Countdown, you know, that's why I was telling Frank I admire him, because, man, I can't do it. It just burns me out. But somebody's got to do it, because there's people out there in all different stages. You know, there's some people that still need to be woken up, and they're still sleeping. You know, and other people need to be encouraged, because they've seen it all, and they're going through a period of disillusionment, and their trust is broken. I mean, this is spiritual warfare on a level that I don't think we're prepared to understand or even believe. But it's going on. And Paul said to put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand in the day of evil. And this is a day of evil. There's lies just spinning around. And, you know, the oppression is heavy. And I just want to, out of my own discomfort and out of my own trials, I want to extend my hand out to you guys and say, you're not alone. You know, I'm right here with you. And we're all in the same boat. We're all experiencing the same storms. And this is a dark day. And it's not fun. It's not fun hearing the truth. You know, it's sweet to your spirit, but it's a wake-up call. You know, we were down here playing the human race, like it's playing house, you know, and we went to sleep, a lot of us. At least I know personally, I can vouch for a lot of us here in America. We went to sleep. We played the game. There's greed, materialism, and there's just temptation everywhere. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I guess I'm just rambling here. I'm going on and on. I'm just kind of venting, you know, and letting out the confusion. Trying to make some sense of it while I'm hanging out with you guys here. I don't know. Maybe you guys can relate. It just, do you ever just get overwhelmed? You know? Yeah. So that's why God's word is so important. You know? So we're going to take a little, we'll look at Ezekiel 13 today. You know, with all this oppression going on, you know, we lived in illusion, inside an illusion for a long time. And why? Because there weren't people out there telling us the truth. They weren't exposing our sin. Nobody was preparing the wall around the city of the people of God to prepare it for the battle of the day of the Lord. They built a flimsy wall. Churchianity, anybody out there who's claiming that they're there for God's people, they're ministers, they're shepherds, you know, we haven't done a very good job of preparing people for the end. And unfortunately, we're going to have to get real. We're going to have to lay it on the line, and it's going to be a shock to a lot of people, because it's going to get real, real quick. So, anyway, I'm trying to figure out, I don't know. I just was going through a lot of oppression today, and Ezekiel 13 came to mind. Let me read it to you. It's about the false prophets. It's God coming against the false prophets, but they were lying to people. They weren't protecting the people and exposing their sin to make them aware of the truth. You know, they built a flimsy wall. We'll read it here. It's Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying.'" God's talking to the prophets of Israel, and he's saying, "Prophesy against those prophets. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord." That must be a shock. You know, they got their own perception of religion and what God's about and how they want to see God. You know, that they've chiseled the Lord and the Bible into their own, you know, "Oh, we don't need this interpretation. We don't need that interpretation. Let's interpret this verse this way and let's build this doctrine this way." And maybe they're not doing it, you know, consciously, but that's pretty much what happens. You know, it's like the Bible becomes an idol, you know. It's like a block of wood, you know, and they chisel little pieces they don't like away until they have it shaped the way they want to. But God says they prophesy out of their own imagination. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear what actually going down. Hear reality. Hear what the true Lord is saying. Hear the truth. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe. Woe is a strong word. Remember that. That's a very strong warning. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They've seen nothing. Maybe when they're following their own spirit, they think that they're getting it from the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be the old bait and switch, switcheroony thing there? Maybe they don't know they're prophesying out of their own spirit. But it says they've seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel. Now this isn't, you know, as we go along here, remember that God is talking to ancient Israel because it was applicable to them. But Israel is a picture of the people of God in general, whether it be the church, whether it be ancient Israel, and history repeats itself. And God says, I change not. So he's speaking to us. Your prophets, your pastors, O America, your pastors, O Europe, wherever you're at, your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among the ruins. They just prowl around. It's in ruins, and they prowl around it, and they don't do anything to clean it up. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. There were breaks in the wall. The wall is your defense. It's the defense that keeps the enemy from coming in. It's funny when I think about the fence around the city of God, and as a wall, and it's like a block wall, and you know, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the only way you can let the enemy into your temple is through your eyes and your ears. They're the gates to your temple. And I was driving up the road, and I just had a thought. I was looking at the, you guys might think I'm weird, but you know, I think this applies. I saw a video store. It's Blockbuster Video. I'm sure a lot of you guys, at least here in America, are really familiar with Blockbuster Video. But I just got to thinking, because I, you know, I'm awake now, and I just want to examine everything. I'm not really playing word games or anything, but just like examining things. And sometimes I wonder, you know, with the enemy, the way he names things, and he likes to have his little hidden meanings that nobody else understands the true meaning. It's like, you know, you walk into a Blockbuster Video, and about 90, I'm just guessing, it might even be more, but I would say at least 90% of the movies in there are no good. You know? Because they just have to do with the world system, situational ethics, and, you know, what do we need movies for? You know? A lot of them are just action movies, drama, showing families and desperate situations, and just dramas and comedies that just, you know, I'm not saying there's no decent movies. I'm just saying that there's a lot of corruption in there. And if you watch those movies, you're letting it in through your eye gate and through your ear gate, through the seeing and hearing. And it's like breaking down the wall that of your defenses. It's like busting the blocks in the wall. You know, it's just another way to corrupt people, to break that wall down so that the enemy can come in our gates, you know? And once you put the virus of that information in the gates, it goes in and it does its work. Like I always say, you can't go down south and not pick up a southern accent, you know? At least here in America, I've done it. I've lived up north most of my life. I go down south and eventually I pick up the accent, you know? That's the way movies are. It's subtle, and but the wall is your defense, and there are many ways that the enemy tries to get in. You know, he's always trying to use that blockbuster, you know, to break the wall so he can get in. And what God's talking about here in Ezekiel 13 verse 5, he says, "You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel." There were weak spots in the wall, weaknesses. And they didn't go up to repair it. They didn't preach on the things that needed to be preached on. They didn't address the truth so that people could heal and they could see things the way they really are, so that they would be ready for this onslaught of everything coming out, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. It says their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Their visions are false, and divination's a lie. See, this is another thing. You know, I'm on a watchman's list, I'm on different email lists. I get a lot of people sending prophecies around. And, you know, I get involved in some forums, and people are always posting these visions and prophecies. You know, and you just gotta use Holy Spirit discernment. Because God says there's going to be false prophets. And he's talking about false visions and false divinations and people speaking from their own spirit. So with this problem going on where our trust is being broken, it's a terrible day. This is not a good time to be spiritually immature and to not have your discernment sharpened. Because a lot of people are looking around and like, who can I trust? I mean, I thought I could trust this and I thought I could trust that, and look how it turned out to be a lie. And that pretty much makes you look around and say, you know, what's going on? What can I trust? It's difficult. So there are, you know, God is telling us there are false prophets and there are false visions and there are people prophesying from their own spirit. So, you know, we really need Holy Spirit discernment, you know, because there's a lot of it going around. It says, have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? A lot of people say, oh, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. I'm like, oh yeah, did you hear his voice? Did he speak to you audibly? Explain that. How did the Lord speak to you? Was it through his word? You know, I don't know. You know, the Holy Spirit works through his people. But there's counterfeits going on. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to sharpen our discernment and be able to discern between the counterfeit and the real. It says, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel. Nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray. Here's the reason he's against them. Because they lead, this is verse 10, Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. The lies. They say peace. There's no peace. We're at war. We're at war with Iraq. Over what? I mean, truth be told, over what? Can we trust the media? Is it really to set the Iraqi people free? Is there anything else behind the scenes? Think about it. There's a lot of blood, a lot of destruction going on. There's no peace. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked, and we live in the world. God's kingdom is not set up yet, so we are in the world. There's a lot of wickedness going on. Can't tell people there's peace when there's no peace. You have to give them reality. Yeah, maybe you're not going to have a lot of people sitting in the pulpits, you know, or should I say the pew, you know. Maybe people are going to leave churches. Maybe people are going to unsubscribe from this podcast. Maybe, you know, people start telling the truth. Maybe people aren't going to listen. Because they're going to gather teachers onto them who will tickle their ears and tell them they can have their best life now. They can enjoy everyday life. There is no peace for the wicked. And you know what? We got a lot of wickedness going on, and we can sit up in these auditoriums and have these little conferences, and we can shout to the Lord and have all this emotionalism. Or we can be out there doing the real work, repairing the wall, going up to the breaks in the wall, repairing it, exposing the things that need to be exposed so that people are prepared when the onslaught comes and it all comes out. They're not sitting there, whoa, where did that come from? You know, like, wow, that came out of nowhere. I wasn't even prepared for that. You know, people are just going to be psychologically just, you know, just blown away because they're not ready for all this. It says, therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. You know? And I'm not attacking any particular church, not attacking any particular people, but you know who they are. Those of you out there who have ears to hear, you know who they are. They whitewash everything. They preach a social gospel that's socially accepted. They conform people to it. And they're not telling people the truth. They're not exposing people's sin. They're lying. They're giving people a feel-good gospel. It's like, you know, psychological help. And that's about it. It says, therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. God's going to have to bring that flimsy wall down because another one's got to be rebuilt. Solomon said, you know, I think it was in Ecclesiastes, he said, there's a time to build and there's a time to tear down. And, you know, just like the people of Nehemiah, they had to clean away all the rubble. The walls and gates of Jerusalem were beat down, they were destroyed, and the people got used to walking around. They got used to walking around with the temple in ruins. It didn't even bother them anymore. Well, we are that temple, and the people of God need to be built up, because there's a lot of people out there with a lot of pain and a lot of wounds from seeing all this stuff come out. They're devastated because the illusion's going away, and they're hurt. And we need to repair those breaks. Rain will come in torrents. Verse 11. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will not people ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Where's all these promises? They were lies. Because God's going to destroy the illusion, the lies. And the people will ask those who told them the lies, how come you told me this? Where's the whitewash you covered it with? Where's the white paint? Where's the peace? You didn't tell us this was going to happen. Therefore, verse 13, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. In my wrath, I will unleash a violent wind, the whirlwind, God's judgment. And in my anger, hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the wall that you have covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare. It'll be laid out in the open, and everybody will see what that wall was built on. They will see the foundation of what it was built on, just like a lot of us are coming to the realization of what America was founded on, Freemasonry, because all this stuff's coming out. All the lies. And it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult to think your world was one way and then have the whirlwind of God's judgment come through and just smash that wall, that comfort that you had, thinking, you know, the world was this way and, oh, America's my companion, you know, in my mind. Keeps me safe. It's America. We'll always be okay. You know, and I'm sure other people can relate to things in their country. Same way. You know, but here in America, we've been pampered. We thought it was one way. Oh, we got our military, our economic strength, and we're okay. And, you know, and then we're a Christian nation. We're good. You know, yeah, we got some corruption. Yeah, I don't like Hollywood. They put out bad movies, but America's basically good. Well, now we're seeing the foundation of what it was founded on. It was founded on Freemasonry. And these guys, we're building a country that eventually one day would bring in the New World Order. And they whitewashed it with Christianity. Yeah, there were Christians in this country. I'm not talking about the people, but they were, these guys were whitewashing themselves as Christians. You know, and now we're seeing it. The wall's being taken down. The skirts are being lifted up, you know. We're starting to see this country's nakedness. And, it's no fun. It can be very oppressive. It says, I will tear down the wall you have covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you will be destroyed in it, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with whitewash. I will say to you, the wall is gone, and so are those who whitewashed it. Those prophets of Israel who prophesied to Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her, when there was no peace, declares the Sovereign Lord. This could be, particularly, I personally believe we're not going to be raptured out before some 7-year tribulation. It's an in-house debate. I don't think we should divide over it. I don't think that your salvation is dependent on where you place the rapture. But for people who believe we're going to be raptured out, they don't understand that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And they say, why do you focus on the end times all the time? Well, because Jesus said to. He didn't rebuke his disciples when they came up to the Mount of Olives privately and asked them, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? He sat down and gave them one of the greatest discourses in eschatology, study of the end times, in the whole of Scripture. There's no peace. We're at the end times, and we need to tell people the truth. Don't tell them, that there's going to be this rapture and you don't need to study Revelation. You don't need to be prepared. Visions of peace. You stay here and tribulate. I'm getting raptured out of here. I've heard, Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen, used to say that all the time. He's like, you stay here and tribulate. I'm going to heaven. All right. But, what if we're not raptured out beforehand? There's going to be a lot of people that aren't prepared. That wall's not going to be prepared for the battle of the day of the Lord. So it says in verse 17, now, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own imagination. Prophesy against them. And that's not fun. It's not fun prophesying against the daughters of your own people. But when they prophesy out of their own imagination, and they're not rightly dividing the word of truth and telling people the truth, you're required to prophesy against them. Prophesy against them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It's always like, stop reading men's books and get back into the word. Stop listening to men who were taught by other men in seminaries and get back into the unleavened word of God. Get back to unleavened bread. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees. When you want the straight, unleavened truth, you go into the word. Why? Because it's not puffed up. There's no air in it. Funny thing, being in the pizza business, I've seen a lot of dough balls, and it's a funny thing about yeast. When those dough balls come in, they're really small. There's no air in them. But then that culture, isn't it funny how we call it the American culture, or the different cultures? Well, yeast is a culture. And when that culture works its way in like yeast, it gets puffed up. And the dough gets much larger. But the funny thing is, there's no more dough there than when you started. It's just air. And people get puffed up the same way. Countries get puffed up from their culture. That leaven works its way in there and it puffs up and it's air, it's nothingness. Makes you look real big. But you're just a real tiny little small dough ball. Ain't no more dough there. You just puffed up with pride. So, we need to get back to the unleavened word of God. And it's funny how they call it pop culture. Isn't that funny? Because when that yeast gets in there and there's an air bubble, you pop it. And what they're really saying is, pop stars, they're the people who are so puffed up, they're the bubbles at the top, and we actually glorify them. We're like, oh, there's the biggest air bubble at the top of the dough ball. Pop. Pop culture, yep. I think it, yeah, you might think I'm crazy, But I think it does have something to do with that, honestly. The people that rise to the top, you know, and we glorify because those are the stars. Well, Jesus said, those who want to be first will be last, and those who are last will be first. So let's get back to this. It says, prophesy against them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the women who sew magic charms on all their wrists and make veils of various lengths for their heads in order to ensnare people. I think this has to do with sorcery, and it has to do with, and I know it's got a spiritual meaning to it. I'm not gonna expound on it too much because I don't want to divide the word of truth in the wrong way. But I believe when he says woe to the women, the woman, the daughters of your people, it has to do with the churches, the spiritual groups. I don't think he's talking about singular women here. It says, woe to the women who sew magic charms on all their wrists and make veils of various lengths. And probably would have to get back into the Hebrew here too, because I've seen this translated in different ways. Who sew pillows or something, I think is in the King James. But it has something to do with ensnaring people, trapping them, lying to them. You know, you can use your voice. Your language can become sorcery. So, because you can be very persuasive in what you say with deception. So it says, will you ensnare the lives of my people, but preserve your own? You have profaned me, ruined my reputation. You have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread. You're up there preaching for money, and for that little bit of money, which is worth nothing in the end, you've made me look like a vending machine where you work the principles of God, and I'm the little genie in the bottle that gives you material things and makes you rich. You're teaching that godliness is a means to financial gain. I think it's 1 Timothy 6, which I don't hear the prosperity preachers preaching on too often, by the way. In fact, I've never heard them preach on that. But it says, you have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread by lying to my people. Who listened to lies? See, the people are to blame too, because they listened to the lies. By lying to my people who listened to lies, you have killed those who should not have died and have spared those who should not live. And for those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear, you might want to think about that. You have killed those who should not have died. There's something I really believe in Scripture, that sometimes when it speaks of death, it's not talking about physical death. Because God also says in another part of Scripture, he says, I killed you with the words of my prophets. So there's some killing going on before the body actually dies. I'm sure of it. This is spiritual language. We speak spiritual truths and spiritual words. You have killed those who should not have died and have spared those who should not live. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against your magic charms with which you ensnare people like birds. And I will tear them from your arms. I will set free the people that you ensnare like birds. It has something to do with sorcery, I'm sure of it. It has to do with deception. And we, you know, like Paul said to the Galatians, he said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who bewitched you? He literally says that. He says, who bewitched you? And how did they bewitch them? Because they told them lies. And it was like casting a spell over them. It's sorcery. It can be used through deceptive and persuasive language. A great orator can weave a spell. It'll be, you know, you can go see a movie and they're like, oh, that was spellbinding. That was a spellbinding book. Because the author was weaving such a captivating story that it took you captive. it was a spellbinder. You know, magic is not, you know, like some kind of magic dust you throw at people or touching people with a magic wand. That's what they want you to think. They don't want you to see the real witchcraft that's going on. The sorceries. One of these days, I've got to get to do that Language of Deception podcast. I've got the notes. I just got to get motivated in to do it because it does explain how words, you know, think about it. Casting a spell, we spell words. That was the first thing that got me into that, thinking about sorcery and thinking about how, you know, that casting a spell has something to do with language and words, just because of the similarity between, you know, when they would cast a spell, they would chant words, you know, and I was like, wow, that was an enchanting movie, chanting, the clever enchanters. So it has something to do with, like, Satan casting a spell in the garden with his lies. It has to do with persuasiveness. And now they have this thing called NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, where it's like sorcery out in the open. They're teaching you psychology. They're teaching you how to speak to people to create neural connections in them and get the responses that you want to elicit from them. And I will go over this in the Language of Deception podcast, but there's a lot of sorcery going on all around us. Just look at Disney World. Disney's all about sorcery. And I know you guys can be like, what's wrong with Disney? You really went off the deep end now, Amos. But you know what? Open your eyes and look around. The Magic Kingdom. You think this is all fun and games? You think they're not using deceptive situational ethics in their cartoons? And you think Satan isn't after your children? You think that huge market that Disney has to get into the heads of your children, and you think they're not using psychology, underlying psychology that you might not be aware of? You think they're not using sorcery? They're telling you they are. It's the Magic Kingdom. And I'm not just talking about the word sex in the clouds on The Lion King and all that stuff that came out. I'm talking about deep, subtle psychologies weaved throughout their storylines. This is all part of the sorcery. It says, I will tear off your veils and save my people from your hands, and they will no longer fall prey to your power. Then you will know that I am the Lord, because you disheartened the righteous with your lies when I had brought them no grief, and because you encourage the wicked not to turn from their evil ways and so save their lives. The righteous are the truth seekers. They went into the churches and they got disheartened. Not all churches, but the ones that are being false. And because you encourage the wicked not to turn from their evil ways, they're like, oh, live in America. Have your big businesses. Be materialistic. Come in here. We give you a reason to feel good. You listen to a little non-effective message that doesn't change your life, but you feel good because you came to church, you looked good, you were in a suit, you carried the Bible around, and you used the tone that we all use, and everything was honky-dory. We provided a service for you. We provided a place where you could come and feel like you're saved and feel like you're a Christian and feel good about yourself. But you can go right out into corporate America and do what you do and partake in all the lies and hypocrisy all you want. Because you came to church. Greed is idolatry. Our whole system is built on greed and covetousness. If it were not for greed and covetousness, our system, capitalism, would not work. Just think about the commercials that you see on television every 5 minutes. They're showing somebody else enjoying a product, creating a covetous desire in you for have that same product. Think about it. The whole system is built on covetousness. You see what your neighbor has and you want it. You see somebody else got this new car and it looks good and you get covetous desire. These men make money off of covetousness and greed. And Paul says greed is idolatry. So if you don't think that we are not worshiping the golden calf idol again in a spiritual sense, then you don't have your eyes open. Right on Fox News in the afternoon when they run those four financial shows back to back to back, they're worshiping their God. They show the city of New York with a golden bull running down it. It's idolatry. The calf idol is money. It was made out of gold. That was their wealth back then. They made an idol out of their wealth. The Twin Towers were a temple to that calf idol. It's idolatry. It's the temple of idolatry. It's going on massively, on a massive scale. And the people in the churches, the pastors and the shepherds and the leaders, are not warning people and telling them, you're involved in idolatry. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Come out of confusion. See the truth. Come out of the electronic buzz that has weaved its spell over you. All the news stories, all the television shows, all the cartoons you watched, all the movies, all the music that you're listening to. Shut it off. Come out of the gridlock of that electronic buzz and come into reality and see that there is a God and that nature is all around you, God's creation, and that you are a human being. Come out of the confusion. We need to be preaching this to people. Because you disheartened the righteous with your lies when I had brought them no grief, made the people of God who were following God, made them feel like they were outcasts because they wouldn't conform to the system. Oh, we're the majority. You're not like us. You have weird beliefs. You're crazy. They kick you out of the churches. You're trying to go in there and wake people up and tell them, and they kick you out of the church. Making you feel like you're guilty before God and that their kind of righteousness is right. Because you dishearten the righteous with your lies when I have brought them no grief, and because you encourage the wicked not to turn from their evil ways and so save their lives. Therefore you will no longer see false visions or practice divination. I will save my people from your hands. And then you will know that I am the Lord. That ends the verse from Ezekiel 13. Now I want to take you to another passage in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. It says, the visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The oracles they gave you were false and misleading. The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They didn't profit anything. Prophet's supposed to bring... The visions of the prophets is supposed to bring something that's profitable. They were worthless. They were false. They were prophesying out of their own imaginations because they lived in the system and they liked the system. And if they preached against it, they would be preaching against themselves. And they're not going to tell the truth because people didn't want to hear it. The people listened to lies. They didn't expose your sin. Nobody wants to hear that they're wrong. Nobody wants to hear that they have a problem. They keep sinning. They're wired faulty. Neurally connected to sin. We have a problem. We keep repeatedly offending God by breaking His commandments. We have a problem. They didn't expose the sin. They didn't expose the greed and idolatry. They let the system keep on going. They didn't show people the truth because most people don't like to hear the truth and they won't sit in the pews. And then there's no money. And then what do? Oh, you could go out on the street and preach, or you could preach to the people around you. But they wanted those big mega churches so they tickle people's ears and they don't expose people's sin. And what happens when you don't expose people's sin? The people keep on sinning. And then what happens? The curses come. And then God allows their enemies to come in and to take them captive. So how do you ward off captivity? You expose people's sin. They see it. Hopefully they repent. God responds to them and does not allow their enemies to take them over. And what is happening? Just listen to my podcast, The Selling of America. We are being looted. and plundered at such a rate that people's heads should be spinning. And that money's going overseas because they took our manufacturing base overseas. We don't sell anything to anybody. We are now a service nation. We change people's tires. We make pizzas for them. We make, you know, we sell the clothes in the retail outlets. We are a service nation. We fix people's roofs. We are a service nation. We're all taking care of each other, moving the money around. And we are the buyers of the world now. So we only export dollars. That's our main export. Those dollars goes overseas. What are dollars? Nothing. It's paper. It's worthless. The real power of the money is that other people will work for it. So those dollars are monetary units of labor, of man hours. So now they hold in their bank, not paper, the ability for credits of manpower. And it's ours. It's our labor. They're holding our labor in their bank accounts. And they spend it over here buying up corporations and buying mortgage companies and buying our land. And we're going into captivity. Because the prophets didn't expose the sin to ward off the captivity. The oracles they gave you were false and misleading. Verse 16 says, all your enemies open their mouths wide against you. They scoff and gnash their teeth and say, we have swallowed her up. This is the day that we have waited for. We have lived to see it. The Lord has done what he planned. He fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. The hearts of the people cry out to the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let your tears flow like a river day and night. Give yourselves no relief, your eyes no rest. But we won't. You know why? Because we're callous and we're hardened. And that should shock the crap out of everybody, including myself. I'm numb, people. I'm asking the Lord that we be broken. It's the only way. And it's painful when the Lord breaks us. But if he doesn't break us, we're going to just sit here. And it's just the words are going to go into your heart. And they're just going to just sit there. And nobody's going to do anything. Because we're numb. Because we have to be numb to deal with the news reports and everything that's going on. It's like a double whammy. But God's saying the only cure is that give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. They're spiritually famished. They're not getting the truth. Lamentations 2:22. As you summoned to a feast day, so you summoned against me terrors on every side. In the day of the Lord's anger, no one escaped or survived. Those I cared for and reared, my enemy has destroyed. You want to talk about whitewashing? Here's another section where the Lord, our Savior himself, spoke to the religious pastors, so to speak, of his day. The churches were the synagogues. The Pharisees were the church leaders, the people who'd been to seminary. They were teachers of the scriptures. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside. Oh, you got suits on, carrying your Bible around. You say all the right things, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. And sometimes, with the way my head ticks, you guys are getting to know me now, I wonder, dead men's bones, skull and bones, they call them the bonesmen, you know, I wonder if that was a reference to a character trait, or a character trait and the character trait that the skull and bones picked up on, and that's why they call themselves the skull and bones, because they brag about it. They're full of dead men's bones. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you were full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. What does he say Jesus will do? He's like, I got to send you the prophets, and the prophets are always bringing the unleavened truth to you, and you're not going to like it. What do? Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. They always throw rocks at the people who want to come and put the law, the perfect law, the mirror up. And you expose what they're doing. Nobody likes to hear that. So if you have a gift of being a prophet, and I'm not talking about prophesying the future, I'm talking about prophesying the word of God, and you're speaking the word of God to people, and you're telling them the truth, and they're coming against you, and they're clawing you and gnashing at you and throwing rocks at you, and spiritually or metaphorically, so to speak, throwing words at you, outcasting you. Jesus said it was going to happen. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. He told us it was going to happen. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of the people of God, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. S-O-L is a word that has a form that means light. Desolate means no light. It's dark. It's desolate. It's empty. There's no joy. You're desolate. Look, your house is left to you desolate. But how many people can see the abomination that causes desolation standing in the holy place? Yeah, it's an abomination, because Satan has got a false gospel going out. And anybody who can see it knows how it's an abomination in the Lord's sight, and it makes you desolate, because it just keeps going on and on. There are true churches out there, but there is a lot of falsehood going on in the name of God, and it's nothing but doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Emotionalism, sensationalism. It's not the true repentance and true revival that brings a fear of the Lord, that puts people down on their faces. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There's a lot of deception going on, and we need to repair the breaks in the wall for the battle of the day of the Lord. We need to tell people the truth, and there's no way around it, guys. You know, to bring the truth out, it's gonna feel overwhelming. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And he told us this stuff was gonna go on. You know, so these people that are sitting up in the pulpit saying, peace, peace, Jesus says, have your best life now, we're not gonna be here. Well, you just go into the Word and read what Jesus said about the end times, and then look at them, and then look back, and look at them, and see if you notice a difference. Do it real quick. Because, you know, as soon as you look away, that spell might take you over again. Do it real quick. Be like, Let me taste the word. Taste them. There's a different taste, and you know it. You're looking in the scriptures, you're looking at the way the apostles lived, and you're looking at the prophets, and you're reading this language of the Old Testament, and you're looking at the churches, and you're looking at some of these people preaching on television, and you see a difference. And you know it in your heart. The ear tastes words like the mouth tastes food. And you know something tastes funny. But you have a tendency, because you want peace, to just keep listening to them because you want to believe it. You want to believe that there's peace. And that's why they succeed. Because people will close their eyes to the truth, to the darkness that's all around them, in order to have peace. And they'll gather teachers that tickle their ears, tell them what they want to hear. That's why there's so many false teachings abounding right now. But guys, Christ told us about all this. He told us that dark times were coming. He's still our Savior. The gospel is still in the scriptures. Jesus Christ is still rescuing people. We can escape this by getting down on our knees, on our face before the Lord, and crying out to Him, pouring out our hearts to the Lord. I'm with you. I find it hard to do myself. Sometimes I tell the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I'm becoming so numb, it's scaring me. I'm with you. I understand this. It's because our hearts are continually getting calloused just to deal with things. And that's why we need to get into the Old Testament, get into the meat of the Word, and let the sword of the Spirit cut away that callousness. And when it's cut away, you're really sensitive. And then you see the world for the way it is, and it's very difficult, but we have to patiently endure this process. In order for you to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, you're going to be sensitive to the distresses and the oppression of the world. There's no way around it. In order for you to see the truths in God's Word, it's going to light you up like a lamp, and you're going to see the darkness around you. Your faith needs to be in the Lord. And I'm preaching to myself. A lot of times when I preach, I'm preaching to my own weaknesses. And that's where it comes from. You know, it's the Spirit of God preaching to me, through me, because I know where my weaknesses are. And I have a hunch that that's where some other people have weaknesses, and that's where I preach to. There's nothing about self-righteousness. I know who I am. I know where my weaknesses are, especially the last 2 months. God's made me really aware of it. I've had so many difficulties, and I've went through the furnace. And I'm not done. I'll go through it again, and there's more things to come. But we need these times, because comfortability is the greatest enemy right now of listening to God and being motivated. When we're comfortable, we fall away. And God has to bring trials and suffering. We learn obedience through trials and suffering. And man, I don't like to hear myself say those words, because my flesh does not like trials and suffering. But as we grow, we can get to where James is and says, count it pure joy when we face trials and suffering. But it comes in having faith in the Lord and placing our hopes, our dreams, and our faith in the Lord and in His kingdom. Got to crucify our desires to this world, as hard as that may be. We grew up just wanting to get that carrot in this world, just a little piece of it. And your flesh feels empty when it doesn't get that. It's a difficult feeling, but we've got to crucify the desires in this world and put our faith in the Lord. Any of you guys out there, if you feel the Holy Spirit moving upon you, if He's touched your heart in some way, if you feel the Spirit moving you and you don't know the Lord, you cry out to God. Cry out to Him for mercy. Be like the publican who says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you feel the weight of your life in front of a holy, righteous God, and you feel Him pressing on your heart, opening your eyes, and you're seeing what's going on in the world, and you, and it's frightening you, and you, and you're seeing your own sin, God is moving in your life. He is knocking on your door. Open your heart to Him. Be real with the Lord. Don't hold anything back. Cry out to Him. Cry out for mercy. It shall come to pass in the last days that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is our light. He is our salvation. He is the only way out, people. The only way out. There is no other door out of this labyrinth of confusion. He is the bright morning star. He is what we are to navigate to get out of this mess. He is the door. He is our only hope. He is the Messiah, our rescuer, our Savior, our King, and our God. I'm going to leave it there. I love you guys. I love you guys enough to tell you the truth. And I know I got a little confused in the beginning, but, you know, gets going after a while. You know me. And I hope that this podcast is, has helped somebody out there. You know, it's difficult, guys. It's difficult sometimes hearing the truth. But there's a part in your spirit, if you admit it, that's sweet. It's like water to your soul. You're like, I just want to know the truth at all costs. I just want to know the truth. I pray for you guys. I pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding, that you may see the Lord and know Him better. And I ask that you guys would pray also for me. I know a lot of you guys do. You contact me in email, and you guys know who you are, and I'm real appreciative, very appreciative, because right now I'm going through a period where I'm kind of isolated, and your emails mean a lot to me. Just knowing that you're out there and that you support me, it helps me tremendously, and I'm very thankful for that. I just want to say thank you. But I guess I'll wind this cast up and give you my contact information. You can contact me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That's epiphos@hotmail.com. You can find the True Stream podcast at truestream.podomatic.com. truestream.podomatic.com. That's P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C. I would ask that you would make some comments on this podcast. Let me know what you thought of it. Either way, you know, I can take it. But go ahead and make a comment down there at the bottom. On the right-hand side of the TrueStream site at Podomatic, you'll see a listener comment line. If you want to call the comment line and leave me a voice comment, I would appreciate that. If you have any questions or something like that, maybe I'll use it on the podcast and we'll answer it. But also, there is the TrueStream discussion forum at Delphi. There's a link to that on the right-hand side of the page. Or if you want some, a little different place, you can go to truestreamoasis.blogspot.com. I have a blog there, too. But it's basically just describing the podcast. So, yeah, if you guys want to contact me, I would really appreciate that in any way, shape, or form. But hang tough out there. I always say that because, you know, as these events start to really, really kick in, some of these prophetic events, and we're seeing this go down, it's going to feel like a whirlwind, and the RPMs are going to speed up, and you're going to feel like Dorothy in the middle of the big hurricane, you know, the middle of the tornado, should I say. Things are going to be spinning, and you're going to wonder which way is up. You've got to be grounded in God's Word. You have to know what you believe so that you can stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. It's going to take faith. Because it's going to seem like everything is up in the air, and you know, what's true? What can I trust? Satan's really, really attacking people's trust. He wants to break it so that you're totally open for what he's trying to implant, his lies. So hang tough. Ground yourself to the Rock of Ages. Stay in the Word. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read it to other people. Stay in it. It's our lifeline. It's our food. Okay? So I love all you guys out there. I'm praying for you. And I'm your host, Amos Ridley. And if I don't see you on this side, I definitely hope to see you guys on the other side.
Scales from my eyes, I give you my life.